Have you ever lain awake at 3 a.m., replaying an awkward conversation from 5 years ago, or found yourself catastrophizing about a work presentation, imagining every possible disaster scenario? Your heart races, your stomach knots, and suddenly you're questioning your entire existence, all because your mind won't quiet down. This isn't just occasional overthinking. It's how most of us live our lives, trapped in an exhausting mental loop that steals our peace and disconnects us from the present moment. Here's the remarkable truth. Mindfulness isn't some mystical practice reserved for monks on mountaintops. It's a scientifically validated approach that's as effective as antidepressants for preventing depression relapse without the side effects. Companies like Google and Apple have integrated it into their workplaces. Healthcare systems worldwide now prescribe it. And perhaps most importantly, you can learn it in just 8 weeks. In an era where the average young person experiences what would have been considered clinical anxiety in the 1950s, mindfulness offers something increasingly rare, a way back to ourselves. Your mind operates in two fundamentally different modes. There's the doing mode, analytical, goal-oriented, constantly evaluating. This mode excels at solving practical problems, like fixing a leaky faucet or planning a vacation. But applying this problem-solving approach to your inner experience backfires spectacularly. You feel sad, so your doing mode searches desperately for solutions. Why am I feeling this way? What's wrong with me? Yet trying to think your way out of unhappiness typically makes things worse. Like struggling in quicksand, the harder you fight, the deeper you sink. Here's the mechanism. A fleeting sad thought triggers your mind to automatically search for matching memories, deepening the emotional state. Remember skipping lunch and suddenly questioning your entire life purpose? Then you ate something and wondered what the fuss was about. Your body amplifies this cycle. Depressed people physically move more slowly, with slumped posture, which worsens mood, while sitting upright improves it. The revolutionary insight? Your mind can be aware that it's thinking. This pure awareness transcends thinking itself, letting you step outside negative self-talk. Mindfulness doesn't stop thinking. It transforms how you relate to thoughts, recognizing them as mental events rather than absolute truths. If you're 30 with a life expectancy of 80, but only truly present for 2 of your 16 waking hours daily, you're effectively living just 6 more years. Double your mindful hours, and you essentially double your life. Mindfulness practitioners are happier, more relaxed, and energized, making life not just longer, but richer. Locked in problem-solving mode, you miss your actual life. You eat without tasting, drive without remembering, converse without listening. You're time traveling between past regrets and future worries while the present slips away. Being mode offers a different way. Instead of judging reality against ideals, you reconnect with your senses to experience things freshly. This prevents negative spirals and allows you to address problems at the most effective moment. Research by Richard Davidson and Jon Kabat-Zinn shattered the assumption of fixed emotional set points. 8 weeks of mindfulness training physically shifted brain activity toward positive emotions. Participants became happier, less anxious, and more energized. Those with the greatest brain shifts produced the most flu shot antibodies. Dr. Sarah Lazar's research revealed long-term meditation strengthens the insula, the brain region responsible for empathy. Try this with chocolate. Notice its aroma and appearance. Let it melt on your tongue without chewing, experiencing hundreds of emerging flavors. When your mind wanders, gently return. This demonstrates how mindful awareness transforms ordinary experiences into captivating moments. Our minds construct interpretations of reality that may not be accurate. We see reality not as it is, but as we are. When you practice meditation and focus directly on thoughts, they often disappear, losing momentum in the full light of awareness. The thought stream is powerful, often sweeping you away before you notice. The experienced meditator isn't someone whose mind never wanders, but one who gets very used to beginning again. self-judgments are particularly difficult to recognize as mere thoughts because they feel fundamentally true. I'm going to go mad, or I'm weak, don't feel like interpretations. They feel like facts. Consider Tom, a legal clerk who prided himself on perfection. After a bad day, he tried meditation instead of drinking. He struggled with a wandering mind and felt he'd failed. But afterward, he realized something profound. He was actually calmer. Failing at meditation is actually practicing. When your mind wanders, it creates opportunities to notice thoughts and regain awareness. The 3-minute breathing space becomes your portable reset button. It follows an hourglass shape, first acknowledging your current experience, then narrowing focus to the breath, before expanding awareness to include your whole body. After completing it, pause to consciously decide how to proceed rather than continuing on autopilot. A king built distant palaces for his unpopular third son, sending soldiers for protection. Yet attacks continued until the king realized, "Let him come home and live with me, for it is better that I learn to love my son than spend all my kingdom's resources keeping him at a distance." This parable reveals a profound truth. Living with our difficulties is often easier than battling them. We instinctively push problems away, but this fails with intractable issues. Acceptance in mindfulness isn't passive resignation. It's receiving things as they truly are, creating space to respond wisely rather than automatically. Paradoxically, conventional action through the mind's doing mode is often just automatic reaction, while mindful acceptance offers genuine choice. The secret is taking tiny steps and working with the body rather than the analyzing mind. When practicing the exploring difficulty meditation, Harry initially felt nothing with a work worry, then noticed chest contractions that fluctuated before fading, along with his worry. Sonia experienced immediate abdominal sensations that shifted with different concerns, finding the instruction softening, opening particularly helpful. This approach breaks the initial link in negative spirals, preventing automatic aversion pathways from activating. It also lets you test catastrophic thoughts against reality, discovering that sensations flux and change. The breathing space meditation becomes your first response when troubled, breathing into discomfort while saying, "It's okay to feel this." Western society breeds guilt and shame for not coping. Behind this lies fear, your inner bully insisting you're not good enough, creating repetitive thoughts and worthlessness. Trauma, depression, or exhaustion create overgeneral memory, retrieving only summaries instead of specific events. This traps you in the past, making recovery harder. The toxic belief, "I have been damaged forever," feels permanent but is temporary. 8 weeks of mindfulness training makes memory more specific, releasing you from this trap. During the befriending meditation, Kara realized her busyness caused her suffering. Starting with, "May I be free from suffering," she recognized she was harming herself through constant activity. Without self-blame, she developed 5 questions: how to nourish herself, slow down, stand back, make choices, and be kind. She discovered fear of failure had protected her from love, making her angry and convinced she was indispensable. Jessie similarly discovered societal pressures creating guilt for not working hard enough. Both found meditation helped them hear compassion's quiet voice over fear and guilt. Your thoughts and feelings simply want to be heard, like a crying baby needing warmth and compassion. Albert Einstein called our sense of separation a kind of optical delusion, believing that widening our circle of compassion liberates us. Kindness emerges through empathy, activating the same brain region as mindfulness meditation. Anxiety, stress, and exhaustion signal something deeper is wrong with how we live. Professor Marie Asberg's exhaustion funnel illustrates how burnout develops. Life begins full and balanced, then gradually narrows as we abandon nourishing activities for important work. Under pressure, we sacrifice what sustains us, choir practice, time with loved ones, healthy eating, for depleting work. Ironically, conscientious workers fall hardest into this pattern. The key is making small, achievable changes. Beth, a busy bank clerk, reclaimed moments by using gaps while waiting for responses to practice mindful breathing. When mood is low, reverse the usual process. Action comes before motivation. After meditation, ask, "What do I need right now?" and choose, "Do something pleasurable, do something that gives mastery, or continue acting mindfully." Start each day with 5 deliberate breaths. Use breathing spaces at preset times. Befriend all feelings by bringing open-hearted awareness to them, even difficult emotions. In a world that constantly demands more, mindfulness whispers a different truth. You are enough, right now, exactly as you are. Your breath is always available as an anchor. If you've missed practice, just commit to 1 minute. What matters is that you care, that you notice, that life lives through you.